This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
Oh, when the red, red robin comes bobbing along, along, there'll be no more sobbing when he starts throbbing his old sweet song.
That's it. We've decided. Not only are you listening to the Bristol City Fan Show, but me and Tom Edwards, your producer, and me, your presenter, Charlie Hawkins, we have decided, and he's a diehard West Ham man, that is the best intro. No other better way to kick off the fan shows. Well, it is your Bristol City Fan Show tonight, 9 to 9:30, which means it is your takeover, your chance, your time to have a say. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 7020 558. And it is a time that I'm sure you're going to want to say a lot tonight, because still no win in 4 championship games. What is going on for Lee Johnson's side? But only 2 points outside those playoffs. Seemingly those teams in and around you helping you out at the minute. Well, delighted to say we enjoyed chatting to him so much last week. We've got him back for the double. It is the brilliant Pete Hinton. Pete, always good to get you back on. 1-1 on the weekend with Millwall. What did you make of it?
Yeah, hello, mate. Well, better performance for one. I think I said to you last week we needed a point, and I definitely would have taken a point, as would most City fans, to sort of stop the rot of 3 losses on the spin. We had a really good 20, 25 minutes, actually. It looked like we could have gone on to win the game comfortably first half, but you know, too often never the same. And I think I said last week as well that I thought Matt Smith was destined to score. He kind of forced the own goal in the end, but if not, he would have scored himself if he wouldn't have just pushed Thomas Callas into the net. So I think people are feeling a bit more optimistic, if not sort of, you know, shouting from the rooftops after a point. But yeah, it's good to stop the rot at least.
Yeah, exactly. And on that, the point feels much better than maybe it would in other circumstances. But what did you make of it? Because it was a game where Bristol City did have their chances. Millwall, never an easy place to go, Pete, but you did lead from that 10th minute, you know, and then Millwall equalising. You're just now on the surface of it, and obviously the other results, a point gained rather than 2 points dropped.
Yeah, I think it is. I think a point away from home anywhere is decent, let alone at the Den. And it's weird, we always seem to have sort of games away at the Den where they always sort of mean something. Last year was our second to last game of the season where we sort of had to win to stay in amongst the playoff fight last season. And this year, as I say, it was just sort of we needed to get a point to stop the rot. And yeah, as I say, first 25, 30 minutes, I think we looked really good. We were in complete control, really. I don't remember Mill having any chances at all, and it was just frustrating. We couldn't really see that out into the second half. It was pretty much one-way traffic until sort of 80, 85 minutes. We definitely should have had a penalty for that handball from, I think, an Andy Vyman cross, but then 5 minutes later, you could argue that Millwall should have probably had a penalty as well, so it cancels itself out. And yeah, it was just one of those. Johnson said after the game that he saw the sort of bright, busy bees that he wants us to be is his sort of buzzword, and it, yeah, felt a bit more positive. But yeah, it's just a shame we couldn't sort of carry that first half an hour through to the rest of the game.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, and he made a lot of changes obviously in the game. I think it was 6 changes, you know, and changed a little bit of that formation. What did you make of the 6 changes on the day? Is that a number, and the players that he changed, is that something that you agreed with, Pete?
I agree that he needed to make changes. I don't think I would have, personally, if I was in his shoes, I don't think I would have dropped all January signings. So Henriksen, we sort of brought in on the last day of the January window, and Johnson was talking up quite a bit and saying we lacked height and leadership in the middle after we sold Marlon Pack to Cardiff. And after 4 games away at Huddersfield, after the game, he basically said that all the January signings needed to have a good look at themselves in the mirror, Hermitson being one of them, and he was just completely out of the squad. So when Johnson has a tendency to do that, he does lash out at players. And you know, now he's going to probably have to turn back to him at some point if he's going to play against Fulham on Saturday. In terms of changes, I personally would have stuck with Naki Wells. He came to the club with a 1-2 record, really. And I think he scored 5 in his last 6 before he joined us. And, you know, we've lacked goals. We still are lacking goals, and he's one of the top scorers in the league. I agreed with bringing back Pereira at right back with Jack Hunt, but again, he's another one that Johnson hasn't seen him as good enough over the last 2 or 3 months, and now he's suddenly good enough to start games and obviously got the goal for us in the end. But now, really, for Saturday, it's do you make more changes? Do you stick with the team that got you a point Saturday? Because Johnson isn't one, really, to be happy with 1 point. And as I say, he's made quite a lot of changes, changed formation. We chat about on Oto on Monday, just about, you know, we could feasibly be looking at 3 formations in a week and another 4 or 5 changes to do so, potentially. And that's probably where our downfall's been in terms of, you know, there's no real consistency in team shape if we don't win games. And Johnson's, you know, really likes to make a lot of changes when he gets an excuse to.
Yeah, and what did you think of the 4-4-2? Because Lee Johnson's saying he actually prefers 4-4-2. Is this something then we will now see, you know, in this home straight, the business end of the season, a formation that Lee will stick with?
Well, I mean, hopefully. As I say, that's probably been his downfall. We actually started the season at 3-5-2 when before Fobe got injured, and that seemed like it was going to be us set for the rest of the season, to be honest, with Fobe and Palmer throwing through balls to him at will. I think it's either going to be 4-4-2 or 4-1-4-1 potentially until the end of the season. There may be a way to fit Palmer into that somehow. Palmer and Sami Geji don't suit each other that well, really. And as I say, Fobe's been out and Palmer and him had a really good connection until he comes back from injury, potentially. I think either 4-4-2 or 4-1-4-1 is going to be our probably home straight formation, if you like.
Yeah, and obviously on Casey Palmer, no Casey Palmer on the weekend. What did you make of that? Because I know fans, especially social media is never the best measuring stick, Pete, but fans weren't happy.
No, I mean, I can't remember the last time he started a game, to be completely honest. Over the last 2 or 3 months, he's maybe had 15, 20 minutes off the bench here or there.
He's the one they want him to link up with Naki Wells, though, don't they? You know, seemingly, just that little bit of creative spark, and he still can't get that look in, as you mentioned.
Yeah, he still can't. Obviously, you don't know what goes on behind closed doors. Him and Afobe, they had a really good partnership on and off the pitch, actually. They seem to be really good friends off of it. And again, Johnson has a bit of a weird tendency to say things in the press that come back to bite him, because he said that bringing Wells in, a big reason for that was because he played with Palmer at Huddersfield, and they were a big part in Huddersfield getting promotion to the Premier League, and I don't think they've played any minutes together yet. So City fans, I mean, any club really loves flair players. He's one of them. But I think Johnson's probably lost a bit of trust in him. With the situation that we found ourselves in, he likes to go back to the Vimans and the Patsons that sort of run around a lot and keep themselves busy. And Palmer's not that sort of player, but he is obviously the one that can play, you know, one pass that threads in a Wells or an Afobe that wins us the game. But I think at this point, Johnson just wants runners. It's been a bit split. I think I definitely want to see more of him. I think most of the guys on Oto want to see more of him, but there are some City fans that just can't seem to trust him like Johnson, and don't like that he comes on and tries to do things a bit differently and loses the ball.
Yeah, and what did you make of Lee Johnson's comments after the game? There was a couple of strange comments, mysterious comments, and he was talking about this whole, you know, this book thing and 1-2-3. And
yeah.
What? Honestly, I've tried to understand this, Pete, but please break it down for me. What did he mean? I'm never good at subliminal messages.
No, your guess is as good as ours, I think. As I say, he's got a tendency of just...
Lee Johnsonisms.
Yeah, Johnsonisms, comes out some really weird things. He said away at Barnsley, we drew that game 2-2 in the last minute, and the first thing he said about that game was, if I could have, I would have brought myself on. Talked about himself in the third person about what he would have done
different. Oh, no.
Which is obviously very cringe. And yeah, I think he's basically, over the last 2 or 3 months, we've definitely seen a side to him where he's starting to almost be a bit like, I'm fed up of taking the stick here and maybe I should start, you know, bringing other people into it. In terms of the transfers, whenever he was asked about transfers in January, before this season, he would always go in depth about what we're looking for and what can happen. In January this year, he basically just said, that's not my remit. You need to talk to Mark Ashton, who's our club CEO. he said this week, yeah, about the, oh, believe me. He's essentially trying to make himself seem like he's doing the best he can in situations. And he's sort of saying now that there's so many things going on behind closed doors. You know, look how good of a job I'm doing under those circumstances. I'm sure it'll come out and I'll look right as rain as a result of it. But yeah, I think it's sort of, some of those things are white noise to City fans now, to be honest, mate. I think he's come out with so many of them over the years that it's just, you know, okay, just let himself tire himself out a little bit.
Yeah, it's a strange one, isn't it, really? But he's always good value for a good line in his press conferences or what he has to say about the games and the build-up to games. Pete, I did want to ask quickly and just move it on because it is a special week for Bristol City. It's Fulham on the weekend, but it is the 125th anniversary of the club. You know, it's big things are planned. For you, what is planned? Can you give it away as fans? And also, what are some of your favourite memories and what does the club mean to you? What have been some of your highlights in those 125 years? Obviously, disclaimer for listeners, Pete is not 125, but I know you've got a good handle on the history.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, Saturday is, I don't know if you've seen the kit, but I'd sort of recommend anyone to sort of go into the kit that we've got planned. They've meshed together probably 10, 15 years worth of kit, cut together for a sort of like special one game only kit that we'll be wearing against Fulham on Saturday. But yeah, I mean, in terms of what the club means to me and to everyone, I think any City fan, any football fan, really, it's just ingrained in your sort of life, isn't it? And it's part of your routine and the people that you meet on the match day and your sort of match day experience. If not a sort of 3 to 5 on a Saturday or Sunday lunchtime sort of fixture, it's the build up to it. It's the Friday, the Saturday morning, the walk to the ground. And in terms of memories, we've had a few really good ones on Lily Johnson, to be fair. The sort of Manchester United game obviously sticks out, the Corey Smith last minute winner, going away and being 1-0 up away in the Carabao Cup semi-final away at Man City, which was just unbelievable. That half-time felt like it went on forever. The one that sticks out for me the most is probably the David Noble goal away at Crystal Palace. I think that would be coming up to 12 seasons ago now. Which is the year that we got to the playoff final and we lost the hole. But yeah, David Noble, we had the first leg away at Selhurst Park in 92nd minute. I think he said after the game that he had to hit from 30, 35 yards because his legs seized up and he couldn't move. Last kick of the game, yeah, just complete scenes away at Selhurst that took us into the second leg of the 2-1 win. But yeah, hopefully there's more to come this season. Hopefully that will turn into a playoff final win at home to, you know, Fulham or Brentford or something before taking us to Wembley.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure many more memories to be made, but in that 125th year, wouldn't it be something if they do win that playoff final and go up? Pete, really appreciate you coming on. Always good to chat to you and get you on the Bristol City Fan Show. So much to be said. It is the 125th year. So why don't you get in touch tonight, join the show and have the say on some of your favourite memories. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 7020 558.
Horses are there for a reason, to protect you and others from danger. The lane may be blocked by a broken down vehicle.
Love Sport. Even when it is a run that Bristol City faced themselves on no winning four, they're actually still only 2 points outside the playoffs. I can't really begin to describe it, Gregor. Can you help?
It's crazy, isn't it? Nobody almost wants that, yeah, the position in the top six places. And yeah, you just have to look at the form of all the teams that are up there. I mean, Preston haven't won any of their last couple of games, have they? And Blackburn Rovers were in good form, but I think they've just faltered as well. Forest only drawing the other night. Yeah, it's just a crazy league, and it doesn't change at all. So we're just hoping that Bristol City can find that bit of form this way and get back in there.
Yeah, and it's interesting, Gregor, because I'm keeping up to date with all your social media and your live blogs and the fans asking you questions. It was interesting. I noticed that a good section of fans were asking about Lee Johnson's comments after the game. We've kind of already covered this tonight, but getting the chance to speak to you, what did you make of that? And I know you're someone that you're there behind the scenes. It was a little bit interesting, these 1-2-3 and book comments. Gregor, I can't understand it.
Yeah, it was quite mysterious. I mean, I actually asked Jamie McAllister today about that. We had pre-Fulham press conference today, so there was a chance for us to ask the club. And yeah, he's obviously Lee Johnson's right-hand man, well, one of the three coaches with Dean Holden, and he knows Lee Johnson very well. And he was explaining that basically he's just referring to all the changes that he's made this season as being influenced by, obviously, injuries. And Bristol City have had a fair catalogue of injuries. I'm not sure if they've been any unluckier than other clubs. But also the transfers. They've had some pretty crazy transfers. I very much doubt that many clubs have changed around as many players as City have done. And by way of example of that, over the last couple of years, they've gone through a good sort of 20, 25 players. And we were talking to Calum O'Dowda today, and he's only 24, but he's one of the most senior players in the changing room at the moment, just in terms of how long he's been there at the club. So yeah, I think it was basically in reference to that and explaining why he's made quite a few team changes this season. I'm sure you guys mentioned that it's 87 and only Lee Bowyer has made more. So, yeah, whether that's unsettling for the players and that, it probably is. But as Lee Johnson has alluded, he maybe hasn't had too much choice.
Yeah, and it is obviously a very special week for Bristol City, 125th anniversary. We're expecting, we know it's a packed Ashton Gate on the weekend. What other special plans are the club dealing with on the weekend? What can we as fans expect, Gregor?
So you might have already been talking about it, but the 125 shirt that they're wearing, especially for this day, they've got reduced prices for tickets, so it should be a full house there. I know that they've got a load of former players coming along, and we were talking about that today. I think there's a huge number, between 60 and 100 former players, including some really great Bristol City legends such as Lewis Carey, who is the record appearance holder for Bristol City. I think maybe Bradley Orr and his teammate might be around as well, because these are guys who are friends with Jamie McAllister and all involved in the Gary Johnson side of sort of 11 years ago and made it to the Championship playoff final. And I know that there'll be a lot of guys from Alan Dick's side and the great 1970s side who were those guys were the last team that was in the top division for Bristol City. So I'm sure some of those guys will be there as well. But yeah, there's going to be a lot of special celebrations at the weekend, and hopefully there'll be a win as well.
Yeah, I think I was saying earlier, Gregor, just before we spoke to you, that, you know, it is no winning for, and sometimes the managers, the coaching staff and everyone, the players go, oh, how can we spark the form again? How can we galvanise ourselves? What will be the catalyst? Maybe a packed Ashton Gate, as it always is. You know, Lee Johnson's calling, Gregor, so I won't keep you too long. you know, he's hearing us, what we're saying now. We're giving the game plan away. But it's interesting. Maybe this is the game that can be the spark, because it's such a special day for the fans, and the players will feed off that, and Fulham roll into town on the game itself. What are you expecting? Because this is a big chance and a monstrous game on the weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. As you say there, that's one of the messages the club have been saying today. There is a really big opportunity. They are still seventh, as you say, only a couple of points out of it. And yeah, I think it's going to be a really tough game. We all know Fulham have got quality players. They've been a little bit inconsistent as well. My worry is that when Bristol City went to Craven Cottage earlier this season, they played really well and they got a 2-1 win there. And they probably deserved it just to bounce on the day. However, Fulham have brought in Michael Hector since then, and I think there might be a slightly different beast. I'm just a bit apprehensive whether Bristol City can replicate the same performance. But then again, they're at home. So, yeah, we're hopeful, as you say, that they can really put in a display to match the occasion and get that win and go back into the top six.
Yeah, and Gregor, then very quickly, a score prediction.
I'll go for 2-1 to the Robins.
Yeah, come on, it had to be. Gregor, we really appreciate you coming on at late notice as well. Always good to speak to you. Gregor McGregor there, just someone in the know. It's what we try to do on these fan shows, because he is at the club providing you with so much insight behind the scenes, and you can always have your say on the Bristol City Fan Show every Wednesday, 9 to 9:30.
This is Love Sport.
My mum and dad say that I don't need lots of sugar. I'm sweet enough already. So we used the Change for Life food scanner app to find out how much sugar is in our food and drink. It's surprising how much we found. So I put my detective hat on to find the healthier choices. Woohoo! Found one, Mum! You can be food smart too. Download the free Change for Life food scanner app today.
Exercise. It doesn't have to mean Lycra or a fancy gym membership. All you need is 10 minutes and you. Because a regular 10-minute brisk walk is a great way to get more active. Whether that's walking to the shops or getting off the bus to stop early. Picking up the pace and getting your heart pumping can make a real difference to your health. So, to see how much brisk walking you're doing and how you can fit more into your day, download the free Active 10 app, because there's only one you.
Before you set off on a long journey...
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.